Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we come and we open your word this evening, Father, we ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us greater understanding, Father, and the guidance, Father, how to walk in righteousness and to walk straight up with you and to be able to do your work, Heavenly Father, according to your will and your way and not ours. Now, Father, be with us throughout this evening. And we ask this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. I told you I had a little something special before we get into the scripture this evening. Because we have all, and I know you all are just like me, everyone that will hear this message, been just like I am. We have heard down through the years that Jesus don't do the same things today that he was doing while he was here on this earth. But the gifts of the Spirit are not at work anymore, and that he's not taking care of us like he did them. In that day and time, we all know Paul, the one that is the author of most of the books of the New Testament. He wrote more of them than any of them. And we know that before he met the Lord Jesus Christ, he was not a good man. But God took care of him. And he's still taking care of man today. And the story I've got for you this evening involves a man of today and how God took care of him through years when he had never really met the Lord Jesus Christ. He was still in his sins. But you see, God knows things that we don't know. He knows what you and I will do before we know it. He knows what we can accept and what we won't accept and what we'll do about it. This came to me yesterday. And as I'm talking, what I want and what I am asking everyone that hears this to do, I want them to look back through their life. And I'm sure they'll find where the Lord has taken care of them at times they didn't even know he was around. And they didn't know him either. And you see, I'm not talking about someone behind their back tonight, because the one I'm going to be telling you about tonight happens to be myself. I've told you all before about what brought me into the ministry. But I want to take you way back before that. I've told you all time after time after time that before 1966, you wouldn't have wanted to know me. So I'm going to share with you, you know, Paul didn't cover up his sins either. He brought them right out in the open, told his churches all about it, how he persecuted the church, how he brought men and women both back to be imprisoned and even killed, how he was standing when Stephen, one of the first deacons of the church, was stoned to death. I was a young man, teenager, dropped out of school in the eighth grade, had no education, but I was raised, and from the time I was about 7 or 8 years old, my dad and my grandfather and my uncles were all builders. And when I would be out of school during the summertime, I was taken out on the job with them. And I didn't drive many nails at 7 and 8 years old, but I was taught to drive nails all day. I was taught how to paint. I was taught how to even mix paint. I could be painting a structure and run out of paint in the middle of a wall. And if it was a color that you couldn't buy, I could go and buy paint and mix it and match it till you'd never know that I'd ever run out. But when I got 17 years of age, I was fed up with that kind of life. So I went and joined the Army. That started a life that if it hadn't have been for the Lord Jesus Christ, I wouldn't have been here today. at 17 years of age, went into the service. I learned how to blow up things. Caused a lot of damage. At 18 years old, I was in Korea. Now stop and think. As the Lord was bringing me back through these times, yesterday I sat and cried. I cried a long time yesterday. And not just from the eyes. I spent a lot of time crying from the heart. When he really opened me up and let me take a look at myself and how he had been with me through those years. At 18 years old, front lines there in Korea, I was in charge of the forward ammunition dump, sitting on Christmas Hill. Most that's ever heard anything about Korea has heard about Christmas Hill. They've heard about Luke's Castle, Sniper Ridge, Mung Dung Nee Valley, Old Baldy. But you know, that Mung Dung Nee Valley runs between two mountains. And two fronts. And the enemy sat in where he could shoot right straight down that valley. And for us to see that these men on the front line had ammo, we had to run that valley. Right straight down it. The lieutenant that was supposed to be running the ammo place, he had cracked up. For some reason, he had never been sent home, but they just let him hang around battalion headquarters. And the care, the operation, and all of the ammo dump there fell on me. 18 years old. We had a bunker made out of sandbags. But we had to go outside to go to the latrine. I was on my way to the latrine one night. I seen two men out among the ammunition piles. We had enough ammo there in that storage place to take the whole top off of that mountain. I knew that none of my men were out in and around the ammo, so I started out to check it. I found two enemy soldiers out there. They'd been playing blasting caps in these stacks of ammo to blow this whole dump. There was thousands and thousands of pounds of explosives there. Not only would it have killed us, But as I said, it would have taken most to the top of that mountain hole and would have killed thousands of our soldiers that was there, plus thousands of South Korean soldiers also. And at 18 years old, God gave me the foresight and the knowledge to take those two, capture those two, and hold them all night until help could be gotten hold of come morning. Only the Lord could have done that. For an old, stupid country boy that didn't know nothing. Wasn't but just a few weeks later, I had to go back to the rear to pick up some more explosives and ammo. Had a small convoy of trucks with me. Four trucks loaded. 2.5-ton trucks loaded with anti-tank mines, 3.2 rockets, grenades, bouncing Bettys, which are mines, by the way. Coming back up to the front ammunition place to bring that in. Plus we had one truck loaded with artillery shells. We had to come up another mountain that was known as Bloody Ridge. We had troops on that mountain. And about halfway up, on a dirt road, just wide enough in places to get a truck through with the outside tires hanging on the edge for several feet at a time. Watching the truck in front of us, I was in the second truck. Had two other trucks behind me. As I told you earlier, there was four of us. I seen an enemy soldier call up on the back of the truck in front of us. And as I looked in the side mirror, I seen one get on my truck. We shot the one off of the truck in front of us. I had to get out of the truck and get up on the back of my truck with this other one. And in hand-to-hand combat to keep him from blowing that truck. Because if they had blown one of those trucks, it would have blown all four. And it would have tore our route up. We had not been able to get any ammo back to the front lines in that area. Would have left thousands and thousands and thousands sitting. And to have cut another route across would have taken months. But once again, the Lord God was with me. And at 18 years old, I was 5'8", weighed 141 pounds, with a 28-inch waist. And he gave me the strength to come out victor in that deal. And I throwed that man off of that truck and out over a 100-foot cliff. You could hear him scream all the way until he hit the bottom. That bothered me for years. I come back, got married. The night I dream about that, and I can still hear that scream, knowing what I'd done. But God had gave me the strength and all to be able to accomplish what needed to be done in order to be able to save a lot of men that were on that hill. It was our men, plus the rout. But then they signed the truce and I come home. While I was in on leave, for I'd been gone 4 years, I come in, getting ready to go to church, as I've always told you, I was raised in church. I was raised in one that didn't teach you all truth. And I was raised in church. I was talking to the pastor. He asked me, he said, Katie, you're coming to church Sunday, aren't you? And I told him, I said, yes, I am. He said, well, I want you to wear your uniform. He said, there's no one here in your home church has ever seen you in uniform. I told him, I said, I'm trying to get out of it for a while. Yeah, but they have never seen you in it, and they all want to see you. All right, I'll wear it. So I did. Went to church. Church was open. We were standing out front talking. This sergeant came out. He was dressed in his Class A uniform. Wife, two little boys, dressed in nice new little jeans, little white shirts. Pastor stopped him. Told him, said, Sarge, you know, if that uniform and the clothes the children's got on is all y'all got to wear at church, I'd just assume you'd go somewhere else. I turned and started down the steps. Pastor said, I'll see you tonight, Katie. I said, no, you won't. Oh, you ain't coming tonight, I told him. I said, I won't be back. What do you mean you won't be back? I told him, I said, you know, that sergeant's got the same uniform on that I've got on that you asked me to wear mine. And the only difference in his and mine, he ain't got the jump on his, I've got on mine. That's what took me away from that church. But God wouldn't let me stay. You see, he had plans for me. Even then, I wasn't right. I was just as lost in sin as Paul was. While I was in Korea, after you was there so many months, you become what they call eligible for R&R. And we had two choices of places we could go. You'd be gone a week. We could go to Tokyo, Japan, or to China. You know, I picked Tokyo. I had, going over, I had went through Japan. I was combat fitted there at the military base there, right outside of Tokyo. So I went back to Tokyo. Show you just how good a young man I was. I get to the hotel where I was planning on staying. The pastor said, do you want a room with a lady or without one? What do you mean with one or without one? Well, you can have it either way. With the lady, stay with you, or without one. I told him, I said, if I got that kind of choice, give me a room with one. They lined them up. I didn't like any of them. They took them out, brought in some more. I didn't like them either. Finally, the manager of the hotel told me, he said, I'll be back in a little while, he said, with one I know you'll like. He went and got his niece. I spent a week with her. That's what kind of a young man I was. Staying. Because you see over there, they don't look at things like we look at here. There's nothing wrong with the ladies staying with the men over there and being there with them. In fact, those ladies run with the best of people because they had money. You didn't even take a bath by yourself. You went downstairs at that hotel in a thing that looked like a swimming pool that was about four and a half foot deep. And when you stripped and got in that pool, there'd be one or two women come and give you your bath. This is what kind of young man I was. And then I come back here. But when I had gotten shelled, artillery shelled out in the open, and had got phosphorus in my lungs. Real small particles. You see these artillery shells go off and this white smoke spray light comes out. That's got real fine particles of phosphorus in it. And that phosphorus will eat until the air shuts off and then it'll quit eating until it gets air again until it eats its way through. I had that in my lungs. And every time a piece would eat its way through my lung, that much of that lung, whatever lobe it was in, would collapse. I had 47 claps in my right lung. Give up for dead twice before 1966. 1966 is when I was give up for dead the third time, to die within 2 days. But you see, the Lord knew. I didn't know none of this. But when I got back, I dated my wife 12 days before we got married. She was a blind date for me. And 12 days later, we were married. Had kids. I'm in and out of the hospital. I spent enough time in the hospital to have built 5 years there. I'd be in the hospital 4 or 5 months, out maybe a month, and back in again 3 or 4 months, and back out again for maybe a month. And I had a family. I had no help in making a living. But God took care of us. He seen that even bouncing in and out of the hospital like I was, in the times and all I'd be down, I still had work. I told you, the only skill I had was in building. And back then, they wasn't that much money in building. I worked many a day. for 75 cents an hour. Try to raise a family on that. But you see, the Lord made the way. We didn't have a whole lot, no. But we never went hungry, and I never went without a home. He was there taking care of me. Because he knew something then I did not know. I still didn't know him. I had never met him. The first job I had when I came back from Korea, was at a whiskey distillery. Right up here, it's part of Valley Station. It's the old Boone distillery. I went to work there in a water house. The old whiskey barrels were at. And then I got a job with Arthur Murray, teaching dancing. Because that was something else I did like and something I was good at. And I went and took their instructor's classes and started teaching. Until my wife got jealous because of the part of my partner there at the studio. And I had to quit. We packed up and moved. All my family had moved to Florida. We packed up and we moved. We got down there. Newport Richey, where we went to at that time, the population of that town was 1,600. The building boom had just started there in Florida. The streets of that town were all sand streets except one. Main street of town was the only one paved. Everything else was sand streets. I went to work. As labor for block layers, laying concrete blocks. I went to work keeping them with block where they didn't have to chase them down and kept the mortar mixed for them, stuff that way. Just grueling labor. I didn't have an education to get what you'd say a good paying job. That went on until I had to leave, because me and my boss couldn't get along. I'd been talking to one of the policemen from the town, and we got talking one day about some different things. I told him that I was looking for one of the bosses of one of the subdivisions that was being built. I wanted to see about getting a job as a painter. He said, oh, you can paint. I said, oh, yeah, I can paint. He said, my house needs painting. How about you paint it? Show you how God works. He said, what would you charge me to paint my house? Well, I went and looked at his house, and I gave him the price. He said, that sounds fair enough. He said, when can you start? I told him, I said, I'll start in the morning. Well, I was painting his house when the boss of the subdivision that I had was able to go see, drove by and seen me painting. My dad worked also for that boss, that developer. The dad was working as a partner for him. He went back and told Dad, he told me, he said, you know, I didn't know that boy of yours to thank Dad told you. So he's good at it. He said, well, the fingers I've done ain't no good. He said, I wonder if he could get some men together to make a crew out of them. Dad said, well, I don't know, but I'll ask him. Well, while I was painting this policeman's house, there'd been several come and ask me if I needed help. You know? When Dad told me what he had said, I told Dad, I said, well, I think I can put together, get three or four more men. And he said, well, see what you can come up with and let me know. So I did. Got the crew together. He finished the work. I ended up with the biggest house painting company on the west coast of Florida. All mine. Bought and paid for it. I didn't own nobody's nothing. Had all the equipment we could use. I was working 28 men. That was in 1966. When I went in the hospital that last time. Was sent home to die in 2 days. God got a hold of me. That's when I met the Lord Jesus Christ. To really know him. Was there. The little angel of death walked in and got me by the hand and walked out of my bedroom with me and stood me before the throne of Almighty God. And my Savior went to intercede, went to speaking for me. I didn't see him, but I heard him. I couldn't understand what he was saying, but he spoke for a time and turned when he quit. Figure hold of me, turned with me, we started away from the throne. And a voice from the throne spoke and told me, he said, you've got 1 year. I took it like, man, it's it. You got a year to get everything right. Now I'm going to die. That wasn't what it was all about to begin with. But it left me thinking for a year. Anyway, the year kind of went, but at the same time, God called me into the ministry to preach. 2 weeks from the day I was sent home to die, I was 1,200 miles away from home preaching a revival in a church I didn't even know existed. And here I was, called there to hold a revival, a white man in a black church in Louisville, Kentucky. Now I live in Florida. Supposed to last a week, couldn't get it closed out. I was here for 30 days. I had to call my wife at home and get her to send me money. Because now the Lord wanted me in the ministry, and he told me, he said, get rid of that company. That paint company's got to go. It's in the way. Get rid of it. I didn't even have time to sell it. I gave it away. I gave it to a man that kept it 1 week in sold. But you see, God knew. He knew I would stand exactly where he put me. I didn't know it, but he did. He knew I'd be just as hard-headed for him as I had been all them years against him. All them different ways he had saved my life through the years of combat. I was in Korea from 1950 to 1954. And I was on the front lines. And God kept me. And times after I come back and times I went through while I was living in Florida and the things I went through down there, I was a peace officer, as small as I am. And the things that I had gotten lined up to do and was sent out to do, I had a woman try to run over me because I had to go and take her kid away from me. I had another woman put out a Chicago contract on me. Anybody know what that is? That's when they hire somebody or a group of people to kill you. I had two windshields in my car shot out on me while I'm driving down the highway. I wound up putting my wife's doctor and a banker in jail because of drugs. That was all before the Lord put me into the ministry. They could set up on the highway to make it look like a wreck. They've done it to get me stopped so they could kill me. It didn't work. The Lord seemed to that. That it didn't work. But that's what it was done for. You know, we don't stop and think about our lives as we've lived them and see those times when only God could have been the one to have done it. No, we think for years, oh, you know, I was great. I did this. Oh, I was great. I done that. But then when the Lord really opens up and lets you really see, you know you weren't so great. But there was somebody else there with you doing the work. And then when he put me in the ministry, he healed this body of mine. I was 33 years old. I have now turned 88. And I was to have died at 33, according to man. And he's been taking care of me ever since. How much longer he's going to take care of me, I don't know. But he'll take care of me until he's ready for me to come home. And when my time and my work here is finished for him, I'll go home to be with him. But all these people out here, oh, God don't heal no more. God don't do this no more. God don't do that no more. Yes, he does. The only reason you're not getting it is because you're not walking in faith and walking on his word and doing what he has asked of you to do. He's told every one of us what he wants us to do in his word, yet we will not go to church to learn his word. Most are going to church today to hear contrary to his teaching. They go to these churches to work. They hear, oh, you know, you can't live without sin in your life. You've got to have sin in your life. Jesus, he'll just keep forgiving that same old sin over and over and over and over. No, he won't. He tells you he won't. But as long as we are in the wrong place, we'll never learn how to walk according to God's word. We all need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And everybody today that goes to church anywhere, that goes to these weak, watered-down churches, just because they have been baptized, they'll tell you, boy, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. No, they wasn't, and they just as lost as they can be. And they stay out of God's word. As we were talking this morning about prayer, we all need a prayer life. Without a prayer life, you'll never make heaven your home. Without being born again, you've got no way of getting into his kingdom. We're told that. Jesus, talking to Nicodemus, told him. There in the Gospel of John, 3rd chapter. Let's take a look at it real quick here again one more time. I've read it several times, but let's look at it because we're here. There may be somebody listening that hadn't heard it. So let's just take a look at it. Here's what he told him about being born again. So those that think that they can get to heaven without being born again. Jesus answered, it's Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He didn't say he might, maybe. He said he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time to his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Twice there. He's already told him. Without being born again, you can't do it. That which is born to flesh is flesh. That which is born to the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And that's the way so many men are standing today. They are standing and they are listening to mankind instead of listening to God and studying his word. But they're listening to mankind that's standing, and the only reason that that man is behind that podium is money. When he is not giving you the truth and the fullness of God's word, he's there for money and prestige, because he don't want to get out here and really work. So he spent some years in college with most of them, with somebody else paying for his college, so he could sit back and take it easy. But he's standing there going to hell and taking his congregation with him because he's leading them down the wrong pathway, and he's not getting them born again and filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And without that, they cannot enter his kingdom. I just read it to you. And we're told back in 1 John, 3rd chapter, that when you are born again, you cannot sin because you are born of God. Yet they all tell you, and you can watch them. Going places where they've got no business of going. Doing things that are strictly against the word of God. But yet, their pastor told them, oh, that's all right. Just ask God to forgive you tonight and you get home. No, it don't work that way. But yet, that's where most of the people are going today. They're going to those kind of churches. They don't want to go where they're going to hear the word of God, because they're going to get their toes stepped on. And they don't want that. Don't tell me the truth, because I don't want to hear it. And they'll tell you, I don't want to hear that. They don't even hide it from you. They just plainly tell you, I don't want to hear it. I want to thank everybody that has listened to me tonight. But I want each one that has heard this story tonight, take time and go to God in prayer and get the Holy Spirit to open you up. Take a look at your own life. See how many times that God has been with you and saved you and brought you out victoriously. And then make sure that you are standing right in His sight and doing what He asked of you to do. Help us to spread the gospel. Help us to get the church filled. Because time is growing short until the Lord Jesus Christ will be coming after His church. Help us to fill the church and to get those that are walking in darkness to the light, and that light being Jesus. Help us to spread this gospel throughout the world. But I wanted everything laid out because I want you to really go to God in prayer and let Him help you. Look at your life and see how many times God has actually saved you from sickness, saved you from death, and has taken care of you. And I grant you, you're going to wake up and be surprised if you'll do just that. Satan is after God's people. He's not after those that are of the world out here. He's already got them. It's God's people he's after. Satan has been trying to split Kenny and myself. He's been trying to split us up for several years. Right now. And he's still trying to split Kenny and I. Next time when I've got Kenny unmuted, you can ask him. He'll tell you. There's been times he's given Kenny fits for being with me in this ministry. Because you see, he knows we're going to give him fits. We're going to keep him busy. And he don't want that. And he'd like to get both of us out of the ministry. And now we've got another one in this ministry now. See, instead of getting us separated, he'd give us another one. But he didn't give him to us. But we took one from him and brought him in. And he'll be speaking come Sunday morning once again. Then he'll be speaking for us come Sunday morning. All right. We're going to stop there for the night. And the good Lord willing, we can all be together again Thursday night. But please, pray about what I've asked you to do. And then sometime or another, let me know what God led you to do and what He has shown you. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we thank you, Father, for everything you've done for us. But Father, I thank you for all the years that you've taken care of me, that you've kept me, Father, from being destroyed, that you've kept me from sickness, that you've healed this old body, Father, time after time, that you've made it strong, and that you've made me, Father, into one that loves you, loves the Lord Jesus Christ, one that loves your word, and one that loves teaching your word, Father, and teaching it the way it's written, not the way man wants it, to tickle the ears, but so that it will bring light unto those that are walking in darkness. Help us, Father, to continue to do this. And for your saints, Father, wherever they are in the world, we know that a lot of them are walking in places to where if they're caught, Father, will mean imprisonment and death. Holy Spirit, take care of them and take care of their needs. Keep them safe. Keep them in health. Now, Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. But even more so, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, that has turned its back and walked so far away from the Lord Jesus Christ, with no excuse, Father, none whatsoever, just turn their back on him. Take him out of all the places where he was at. Closing our churches, Father. Calling your children terrorists. Father, help us to remove from office those that are against the church, against your children and against Jesus, and to replace them with ones, Father, that will work for the church and work for Jesus, putting him back into the places he's been taken out of, and work with us, Father, in putting our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list, as each name is called, we ask the Holy Spirit to touch these, Father, to fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, Father Terry Coates, touch all of these, Father. Keep them all in health. Make them, Father, into being what you want them to be. Dennis Breeden and his wife, Tina, the brothers in Christ. Father, these brothers, they come from different walks of life. But, Father, when they meet together, bring them together in one mind, in one accord, in unity, and that being in the Lord Jesus Christ. For Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson and Pastor Eugene Best, the Church of God of Brandenburg. For the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. These churches, Father, make them not only lighthouses, but make them a place of refuge, Father, to where the lost can go. and find light, and that light being Jesus. For this young pastor, Will, Father, my prayer for him is that his teacher has been the Holy Spirit, and he is the minister you want him to be. For Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, you know what the need is there. We lift them up, put them in your hands. In that little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, my prayer is, Father, that you will put one there, keep one there, Father, that is filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing, to make that little church back into what it once was. Now, Father, for my friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephron Iron, Father, keep them safe. They walk in dangerous places. Keep them in health and see to their needs. For the Johnson family, for the Branson family, for the Lee family, for my wife's family, my family, and for each family to where someone from that family has heard this message tonight, Father, and this story of how God is still working with mankind. He has not quit. He is still there. He is still holding on to us. He is still showing us the way. He is still healing. He is still giving us knowledge, giving us wisdom. Father, my prayer is that we let no one deceive us and lead us away from you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to stand firm in all of your way. Sharon Mondillo, Jimmy Emery, Sharon's mother, for Sue and for David, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen, for Dan and his wife, Angie. Father, work with all of these. Touch them, Father. Touch them with thy healing hand. Heal them by the stripes of Jesus, Father. And those that are in need of the Holy Spirit, Father, fill them to overflowing and bring them all in out of that darkness and into light and use them in great and mighty ways, Father. Just as I'm asking, Father, use me. Use me greatly, Father, not to lift me up before man, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, giving him all the praise and all the glory. And it's in his sweet, precious name, that name of Jesus, that we pray. Amen. And God bless. All right. Remember now, God willing, come Thursday night, we can all be together once again, back into his word. So until then, walk with God and he'll walk with you. Good night now.